Welcome back to another episode of the Pax What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, joined as always by Perry Goldstein, who is back from Lambeau Field, thankfully. Shout out to Jen Curtin for holding it down while Perry was gone. It was a ton of fun to chat with her after the best game of the season that we got to watch and that Perry got to see live. But let's talk about it. Let's start with Sunday before we dive into this Thanksgiving matchup. How was your trip?
Amazing. I love Green Bay. It's the best. I got to do all the things that I wanted to do, except for the fact that Hinterland was out of cherry wheat, and I was very upset about that. Otherwise, so much fun. That was the coldest game that I've been to so far in my tenure, and I think I did pretty well, other than, you know, by the end of the fourth quarter, my toes were cold, but I like to prove to myself that I can do it because I'm gearing up for hopefully one day getting to a playoff game, but I have to like work my way up. But it was awesome to watch them just demolish the 49ers. I have to say the 49ers fans traveled well. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of red in the stadium, which I did not like to see, but I will give them a shout out that they were hella respectful. And a lot of them were at the Hall of Fame and around and just like genuinely enjoying the Lambeau title town experience and the, you know, hallowed halls of the football, you know, Mecca. So I hate the team, but I can respect that the fans respect the history, given that they also have their own kind of storied history there. So did notice that. And it was just an awesome game. I mean, the Packers showed up in like every way, which way possible. Would have loved that Christian Watson touchdown because it was in our tickets end zone. But other than that, perfect night.
Yeah, such a good game to watch. Really fun atmosphere. And hopefully we get another one of those on Thanksgiving with the Packers hosting the Miami Dolphins on Thanksgiving evening, the Lions hosting the Bears to kick off Thanksgiving football, Cowboys hosting the Giants, and the Packers are the night game. Most recently played the Dolphins on Christmas a couple of years ago, so kind of funny that there just happened to be the draw here anytime there's a holiday. But yeah, Dolphins are an ascending football team. I think they're 5-6. You know, they kind of looked dead in the water for a while and then came back to life. They're on a 3-game win streak. Tua is playing really good football now that he's back from his concussion and is healthy. They've got weapons, obviously, all over the offensive side of the ball. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Jonnu Smith, who looks like a brand new tight end in Miami this year. But before we get there, let's talk about this Packers offense and what they can do to win against this Dolphins defense.
Oh gosh. I mean, I feel like this Packers offense is just doing what they need to do these days. I think that they should continue to run the football. They're one of the best rushing attacks in the league right now, and so they should continue to lean on it. I think we come on here and say the same thing every week, but like, if it's working, keep doing it. I just love that they are running the football creatively and effectively. And then Jordan's getting his, you know, big shots when he needs to off of that, off RPO, off play action. It'll be interesting to see what they do without Dobbs. I feel like a lot of the way they attack the middle of the field is with him, especially in this 49ers game. It was a lot of Dobbs in the middle of the field. And I think it's safe to say he's going to be out of this one with the concussion. So who they slot in there, I'd love to see a little bit more Tucker Kraft, I think, in there. If not, you know, they obviously have weapons. But I, you know, we had another clean game from Jordan. You know, the one turnover was on a free play, so it didn't count. It was fine. So just clean game and keep running the ball effectively. And I think this, they can do it. I mean, we can talk about the injuries, but the Dolphins defense is injured just like the Packers are. So I think there's areas to exploit.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up because that's where I was heading next. A short week, really difficult for both teams, especially the Dolphins, who of course have to travel now. But Tyus Bowser has been a DNP all week. And these are estimates. Both teams are not actively practicing, but he would not have been practicing all week. Their backup linebacker, Anthony Walker Jr., their starting linebacker. Mike McDaniel already said he doesn't expect him to play this week. So that's a loss for them. Kendall Fuller is out with a concussion. They don't expect him to be available this week either. Jalen Ramsey probably will be playing, but he is pretty banged up dealing with a knee injury of his own. So it's a banged up team. Calais Campbell, you know, he was a DNP and then they would have listed him as limited. So probably will be out there, would expect him to be out there. But we said that we thought Trent Williams would be out there last week and then he ended up not playing. So you can never really know on a short week, especially after a plane ride and playing in the cold. It's supposed to be, I think, in the 20s on Thursday night, what that's going to do for some of these injuries.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and like you said, I mean, it's their linebacking core who's going to be out. So, again, exploiting the middle of the field, being able to run the ball effectively. Calais Campbell is an ageless wonder. And from a, you know, football non-fan perspective, I think he's one of my favorite players ever. But this week, I hope that he's a little hobbled because I would love to get him not at full strength, even at his, what, near 40 years old age. Protecting Jordan also is probably key here. I think, you tell me if you have the stats in front of them, but just from watching the Dolphins, their pass rush looks good. You know, the offensive line has done a good job, but teams have been able, I think, to get to Jordan at least once or twice the past couple of weeks. So just holding up against them would be, you know, another key, because Jordan under pressure and being able to get his feet set, et cetera, is a very different Jordan than when he has a clean pocket, as most quarterbacks are.
Yeah, it looks like the Dolphins have 21 sacks so far on the season. The Packers have 27. So, you know, not generating a ton of pressure, but I mean, Calais Campbell, like you said, he's a defensive tackle and he's got 4 sacks. And Zach Seller is the other tackle that, you know, starts opposite him and he has 4 sacks. So it's really interesting that kind of the interior of their line is where they're getting a lot of their pressure. Chop Robinson, I really liked him coming out of the draft. He has 3.5 as a rookie. So he's been playing really well too, but not a ton of pressure. But to your point, Calais Campbell has, I think, 2 interceptions this season. Or no interceptions, but 5 passes defensed. So he is like that guy in the middle that's just swatting everything down. So Jordan Love is going to have to be mindful of where he is on Thursday.
I think maybe it's recency bias because, and we can talk about this, like the Dolphins did not look good at the beginning of the season at all. They were on a really bad losing streak. And now they're on a 3-game winning streak. And the last month or so, you know, they lost to the Bills, but it was a close game. They look like a pretty different team. They've brought it on in pretty much every aspect. So, you know, I think maybe that's like my recency bias, thinking that the rush looks has just like come on a little bit in this latter half of the season. Kendall Fuller and Jalen Ramsey being hurt is big, but again, I feel like Matt always finds a way to get guys open regardless of the secondary. I never really truly worry about who's back there. Naturally, if they're hobbled, it makes things certainly easier, but our receivers seem to be open and or Jordan just throws into double coverage and they catch it or they don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of motion opportunities to get guys open. We talk about Tyreek Hill's speed and Jalen Waddle's speed, and we'll get there in just a couple minutes here. But, you know, the Packers still have Christian Watson. They have Jaden Reed. Like, they have speed in their own right on their side of the ball. So I think there will certainly be opportunities to take advantage of some mismatches that we'll see on Thursday night. But yeah, both defenses, Packers are 10th in points against, and then the Dolphins are 11th. So kind of shoring up, both giving up like 20, 21 points a game. So we'll see, you know, what that looks like. But if we want to flip and talk about the Packers defense against this Dolphins offense, there is, you know, we mentioned at the top of the show, a lot to like there when it comes to Miami's firepower. Obviously they have Tyreek Hill, who it feels weird to say that he's having a down year, but you know, we've seen him and Waddle both light things up and they both are under, they're like 550-ish yards apiece, you know, so it just seems like they're kind of having quiet seasons. And granted, Tua has been out for some of that with the concussion, so certainly not having their starting quarterback throwing to them makes a difference. But aside from them, you have Jonnu Smith, you have Devon Achane, you have Raheem Mostert, like there's just guys everywhere that can get open for this Dolphins offense.
It's true. I think Tyreek, like, even though he's having, and I would agree with you, a quote-unquote down year, he's just the kind of player that he can break open at any moment in any game. So you're game planning around him, regardless of what kind of season he's having. Waddle is a little bit of a different story in my mind because he doesn't have the same, like, consistent year after year production. So his down year is like, is he not functioning as well in this offense? Is he just having a bit of that slump? Like, there's, I think, a few more questions when it comes to their number two. But the biggest surprise on this offense to me has been Jonnu Smith, like, aging tight end, one that actually Matt LaFleur knows very well from their days in Tennessee. And he's been a very big target for Tua. Let's look at his tight end. His stats here. He has four touchdowns. I was like, I feel like I see Jonnu Smith scoring touchdowns these days. Four touchdowns, that's fine. But he's a big body tight end that I think is a bit of a mismatch, especially with our secondary that tends to be a little bit smaller.
Yeah, absolutely. 535 yards. He is second on the team in receptions with 48. So clearly, you know, a weapon that they are utilizing quite a bit on offense. I think the surprise to me, we talked about it a little bit pre-show, is A-Chain. And he's only got like 562 rushing yards, three touchdowns, which doesn't seem like a lot for a lead back, even though they do kind of operate in backfield by committee at times. But then you look at his receiving stats, and he adds another almost 400 yards. He's got five receiving touchdowns. So he is with eight on the season. The second, of course, is Smith with four. But really just, you know, I think that's a lot of screen games, a lot of kind of like the quick passing game. And that's what the Packers, we've seen them struggle against screens this season. So they have the speed to make things really complicated for a Packers defense that is going to be without potentially another starting linebacker. You know, we don't think Edgerrin Cooper is going to be able to play. Isaiah McDuffie has been a DNP all week, even though, again, they're not practicing, but he sounds like wouldn't have been able to go. So they could be down to Quay, Eric Wilson, and then Tyron Hopper as their inside linebackers. Jamin Davis was signed to the Vikings active roster this week, so they don't even have a linebacker on their practice squad. Like, it's just those three guys, which is scary.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, if it's Quay and Eric Wilson, I feel strongly about that duo, same, especially at the way Quay played this past game. I thought he had his best game against the Niners. So, like, in a long time, and definitely maybe this season. And Eric Wilson is so solid, right? But at the same time, you do not want to go into a game that week. And as much as we liked Hopper coming out of the draft and in preseason, he has only played special team snaps. And look, if it's a next man up mentality and he has to be rotated in this week, great, let's see what he's got. But and that's just how it goes, right, in the NFL. Sometimes you just have to take your opportunity and do the most with it. But it's a big question mark if he has to play any kind of meaningful snaps. So you just hope that nothing happens to those first two. There's nothing else to say. I think the Davis signing from the practice squad was like, eat, there goes our insurance.
Yeah, and Hopper's played like 51% of special team snaps, so he's been kind of a mainstay on special teams, only seven defensive snaps. So I was thinking, like, what would the backup plan be if one of your linebackers gets injured? Maybe it's Oladapo. He hasn't played a single defensive snap yet this season, but if you need like a bigger bodied safety, I wouldn't be surprised if he's active going into Thursday night, just in case, you know, kind of as a background piece in case something goes wrong, because three inside linebackers on your game day roster just feels really thin, especially when one of them has such a big presence on special teams. But obviously, we've seen, you know, a lot to like from this Packers defense the last couple weeks, held a 49ers offense that, yes, was without Brock Purdy, but still had George Kittle, and still had Deebo Samuel, and still had Christian McCaffrey to 10 points. So that was really nice to see from a Packers team that, you know, had struggled a little bit to put up or to defend earlier this season. They are now back in the turnover column with three turnovers last week after having two games without any turnover at all. So I think they'll be hard to come by against the Dolphins. The Dolphins are protecting the football pretty well. Tua hasn't thrown too many picks this season, I think only four. But I think the Packers can capitalize again in the cold. Like, this is just not a Miami element to walk into And they're going to have the short week travel. Packers, I think, have to capitalize on every home field advantage, whether it's fabricated and it's the crowd noise or it's just simply the cold.
Yeah, I agree with you. There are some times where I think, to your point, the home field advantage thing is like, but this is one of those that it's very real. The Dolphins being a warm weather team, and Tua especially historically does not play well in sub freezing weather. This is where the Packers thrive. And I think especially going back to what I said before with the ground game being what it's been for this offense, this Packers offense, I think it's a recipe for really taking the time of possession by, you know, taking time of possession and saying, we're going to give you very limited opportunities. Therefore, we're going to make Tua throw the ball. And I think, I mean, that's where Tua makes mistakes. He's been really clean this season. He only has 4 interceptions, but we've seen Tua over his years in the NFL, and he can throw up a doozy for you. And you're going up against Xavier McKinney, who might be leading the league in interceptions. If not,
he's tied for the league. Yep.
Yeah. Right. With 7, he just had another one this past week. So not a team that you want to make mistakes through the air with, because this Packers defense will make you pay. Quay is due to get one, to finally catch one of those as well. He's had a few dropped interceptions. So I do think, to your point, it's a recipe for the Dolphins maybe not having as clean of a game as we've seen them the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting if you look back at their most recent games, because one of the things I think about in cold weather is to make them one-dimensional, and they're, you know, kind of eliminate the run. But in their 3-game win streak, they haven't had more than 85 rushing yards in any of those games, which is really interesting, because normally you think about kind of the balance between the ground and the pass game. They had like 308 passing yards, and it was against the Patriots last week, but really kind of airing it out. And I think, again, going back to the weather, it's going to make things challenging when it's so cold, and if there's any wind gusts that kind of factor into that. So if you can make them one-dimensional and make them throw the ball, even though that's where they've been more comfortable in recent weeks than running the ball, I think that's where you kind of get lucky with some of those mistakes, or hopefully punching out a really cold football that is hard to hang on to.
I agree with you. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Because we're looking at these stats, and they're very interesting. And, you know, this Packers defense has been a bit of an enigma this season. Like, I do think they're very obviously playing better than the last couple of seasons. That's easy to say. I mean, they're turning the ball over. They're holding teams to very few points. You know, last week it was against Brandon Allen, but I thought they did a great job against Christian McCaffrey in this run game. And I hope that they deploy the same tactics against Achane. If I asked you who, because the top tackler on this team is Quay Walker, naturally as your middle linebacker. If I asked you who you thought the second person with total tackles was, who would you say you thought it was?
Well, I know who it is, but it wouldn't have been who I thought that it was for sure.
Because when I look at it, for those listening, you're probably thinking it's another linebacker, or no, it's Javon Bullard.
Yeah.
And I think I've definitely been hard on him because he's had some tough coverage moments, but I do just want to shout out that Javon Bullard has the second most total tackles in the team. He's playing a ton of snaps. We were talking about the linebackers being a bit of a weaker unit in this game. I do wonder if they pull him down a little bit more in this game and play him in that position, that hybrid position, just because he's been so solid in that role, in that just being able to tackle and get people to the ground. Just a thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think it almost is going to happen out of necessity, right? Because Evan Williams is back. We really like him opposite Xavier McKinney, kind of deep, even though we've seen him play a little bit closer to the line, and he looks good doing that as well. But if Bullard is still kind of your nickel, then it's probably Carrington Valentine and Keyshawn Nixon on the boundary. And I don't know how I feel about that going up against guys as fast as Hill and Waddle. So really curious to see kind of the packages that Jeff Hafley deploys. If he plays a little bit more dime than we've seen out of him and brings in an extra corner, an extra safety, or if he lets his guys just play really aggressive man, it'll be interesting. And I think that is going to be the challenge for this Packers defense, is they have all of the talent in the world to keep everything in front of them. It's just a guy like Tyreek Hill is really hard to keep in front of you, because if there's any, you know, turf issues here and you need to swap cleats and it's slick or damp or just, you know, hard to run on and you misstep, he's gone. I think that's the challenge against this Dolphins team.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, Halfley's done a lot of like really interesting movement and like pre-snap, like disguising. So without Jair, I think leaning on that level of disguise is probably what you have to continue to do, because you don't have just like your A1 guy who can go up and pretty much do anything against anyone's number one. I'm worried about Jair's knee. They don't want to put him on IR, which is interesting because that means they think he's coming back before four games, but he's been out now. I think this is the fourth game because he came back for the Bears but left, so I don't really count it. So I hope he's healing up, because they need him in this stretch. And this to me would be the game where like you want your number one cornerback against one of the best wide receivers in the league. And you are probably not probably you are playing your defense quite differently. Do we think Carrington Valentine is up to the task? I thought he played well last week.
But I thought he did play well. Yeah. And I mean, Samuel was quiet last week and John Jennings was relatively quiet. It felt like George Kittle was kind of the only you know, real sieve for them. So I think that's kind of why you worry about Jonnu Smith. But, and of course, you know, like you said, Allen is a different beast than Tua when he's healthy. So that factors in as well. But I think the Packers just lean into this one and hopefully they can generate a pass rush. We mentioned, I think already, that Terron Armstead is likely playing despite being a DNP all week. And he came out early against the Patriots. I think they did that kind of to game plan, knowing it was a short week and he was going to need some extra rest. So didn't have him play the full game once they were up on the Pats. But another concern there to have your starting left tackle not be at full strength. So certainly areas for this offense to exploit.
Forget that Odell Beckham Jr. is on this team.
I do as well.
Okay. Any other keys to this game for you?
I mean, I think we kind of talked about it last week, but like to me, part of the keys would be capitalizing. Like the Packers were 5 of 5 in the red zone last week. And that's what we need to see from them as finishing drives, because I'm not sure that you can have McManus go out there and settle for 9 points when you had 21 available to you. Like, I think that I don't necessarily think it's going to end up as a shootout, but if it is, you can't be trading field goals for touchdowns. And, you know, I think the Dolphins have the speed to just exploit those mismatches. So, yeah, don't settle for 3 is, I think, my key takeaway.
Yeah. This might be a bit of a strange key, but strong special teams performance. Yeah. Like I feel good about where this Packers offense is going, the way the Packers defense played last week, just continuing that. But and more than just, you know, McManus making his kicks, I feel confident that he will do that. But watching the game live was interesting because it really feels like they're playing as a more cohesive unit than I've seen in a while. And it really feels like Keyshawn's about to break one open. Like some of the holes that they're getting in the kickoffs and not punt returns, because I don't think Jaden Reed really has that in him. But when Keyshawn's back there, like I feel like there's one coming. And I don't say that out of, oh, I'm just a fan and I want to see him do that. I say it as like because you know where the seats, where our seats are, like you can really see the special teams unit or just like in the end zone, right? You can see it well. It's almost like where we sit at Lambeau is kind of all 22-esque in our view. I feel like there's going to be a hole and just a bad special teams blunder from another side will break Keyshawn open, and good field position against the, which is partly the defense as well, just playing well and generating turnovers, et cetera. But good field position was a key to beating the 49ers. So continuing that, just not even breaking one open, but just like good returns could mean the difference in 7 versus 3.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, we will go to our score predictions then before we wrap things up. What are you thinking? How are you feeling about this one?
You feel like it's going to be a shootout.
I don't know if I agree shootout anymore. I just think that there's going to be points scored. You know, like I think it's going to be a relatively high scoring game.
I would love to see Packers go above 3 again or 30 again. But my feeling about leaning on, well, they leaned on the run last game and they scored 38. So what am I saying? 31-17.
Okay. So you think that the Packers run away with it?
I just think this defense hasn't shown me that they give up a lot of points, right? And maybe 31-21, right? But this defense hasn't given up more than that this season. I guess the Vikings game is, well, I shouldn't say that. Vikings and Lions games. But, okay, don't listen to me. They've given up points. The last few weeks, they've held teams to sub, you know, high scoring games. And I think they are building off of what they did last weekend. So I don't think the Dolphins, especially in this weather, are going to be able to put up too many points against this team.
Yeah. On Christmas in 2022, when they played, the Packers won 26-20. I feel very similarly about this game. I think it's like 28-20 is kind of where I'm going, where I think the Packers put up significant points. I think the Dolphins 20-ish, you know, feels right for them. I could see it being more. I could see it being a high scoring game, but it just is going to come down to, like you said, the defense. And I think if you steal one, it's game over. You know, like if either team is going to hang around in this one, it's going to be off of the other team's mistakes. Because if it's just a clean game by both sides, I think the Packers can run away with it. So if they let the Dolphins hang around, it's kind of what we say every week. Like if you let the team stay in it, then it's going to be a close game. But I think that, you know, this is a team with a lot of juice and it's a short week. You're at home. It's a holiday. I think the Packers win this one relatively comfortably, but probably not as comfortably as they did on Sunday.
Right. Okay, so 31-21. We're not too far off from one another. Okay, Packers win.
There you go. Predict the dub. Before we wrap, what's your favorite Thanksgiving food?
Oh, my dad's stuffing. Easy. So good. What's yours?
Probably stuffing, because it's like the one time a year that you eat stuffing. Although I could eat like 17 rolls in a sitting and not feel bad about it. So being married to a diabetic, you take the carbs where you can get them. And Thanksgiving is where I get all the carbs. So very excited for tomorrow. Everybody enjoy your holiday. We'll be back Friday to talk about hopefully a Packers win. And then another short week. So you'll be seeing a lot of us because there's a lot of football coming up here. The Packers in the middle of that 3-game stretch in 12 days. And then a lot of primetime contests coming up. So stick around. You can find us on YouTube, obviously, at Packs What She Said. Like and subscribe to the show if you don't already. Or if you're listening in the audio formats, please support the show that way as well. You can find us on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Blue Sky at Packs What She Said, Perry at Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. And we'll be back. Enjoy the holidays with your chosen family and enjoy a Packers win. Hopefully, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.